says live video is starting, but you know it's live. What's up, everyone? It's Thursday. I'm out and about, meaning outside of the studio room and in the living room. So I thought we'd hang out. Why not, right? Come bring whatever you like. Let's talk about all the things. I've got your comments pulled up here. We'll wait for it to kind of notify people, tell them what's up. It's the middle of a work week. I guess this is kind of my work, but it's not really work. How did that happen? Well, I tell you, life is strange. You just got to go with it. The flow of life is always going, and we're always trying to push and pull and resist it, and it's a losing situation. There's June and Brian and Diana from Lisbon and Joe and Dawn and Nathan, and this is romper room level stuff. Pastor Nate, get to catch the doc live. What a great day this is. See, that's the kind of gratitude that gets you far, Pastor Nate. Gratitude for this bald man standing here in his living room, in the living room of his studio. What's up, Lauracita? Still in the doctor doing my clinic thing. Hell yeah. I mean, you got to do exactly the thing that's showing up for you to do. Yeah. You know, we talk a lot about burnout and stuff. There's a lot of ways to kind of cope with that, right? One is to quit, do something you love more, if there is something like that. But if there isn't, if this is your thing, you know, it's like, well, there's a lot you can do short of like full, you know, no self awakening. There's a lot you can do that will improve your ability to deal with that in terms of reactivity, in terms of the stakes of it all, you know? And in terms of like externalizing blame, like, oh, if this person wasn't there, if I didn't have that to do, if it wasn't, it's like, all that's true. That's all systems problems. And that system's not going to change until we change. So how do we change? Well, this is where like the work of living a more kind of conscious, examined lifestyle, like what is actually going on in my mind? What is my mind? What are thoughts? Can I question some of these beliefs that I hold to be fundamental that are causing suffering? I go to work and I'm stressed out because X, Y, Z, and Z. Okay, so start questioning those things. Are those things really true? Like what happened if you let go of some of the perfectionism or some of the resistance and just started to ease into what's happening? Okay, got to chart an epic. All right, figure out the way to do that. Don't take anything too serious except for, I shouldn't even say that. Don't take anything too serious. Take it all sincerely. Like take it all with a kind of intention and a kind of love and a self-love, honestly. Not for the fictional self, but for this thing that's doing its best. It's doing everything it can. Your ego and all that. It's just a natural appearance and it's designed to keep what it thinks is you safe. So having kind of self-compassion, being incredibly present. We've talked about how compassion shows up when there's no sense of real separation between you and a patient or you and a boss or you and someone you're training. It really does start to change naturally. It starts to change everything. Louise G'day from Pemberton. The Baroness just woke up to the melodious sounds of Z-Dog MD. How does it sound? I got my fancy mic out here. It's going to pick up a lot of room echo, which is something I can process out on a recording, but on a live, you're going to hear it. So on a, if I post this on YouTube or something, a lot of that will be removed because I'll run it through my processor. Fredericksburg, VA is in the house with Lori. Dominican Republic with Laura. Margaret says, excited to catch you live. Oh, that's nice. You guys are so sweet. What a sweet group of humans. So hit me up with some things that are challenging you, some questions you have, some thoughts, some observations about anything. It doesn't matter. You guys know I'm interested in, you know, reality and this present moment, which isn't even a moment. That's the real kind of, when that realization happens, it's like there isn't even a present because there's nothing other than this. So how can we say now, not now? It's doesn't even make sense. The question of like, is there a now doesn't even make sense. And then when there's only this kind of unfolding and everything else is just reflection in thought that creates time and space and other and self, when there's just this, where is there room for a self moving through space and time that has reality. There's room for a self-sense, a sense that we're this separate person struggling since birth in a cold, hard world. But it's just a sense. It's just an appearance. It's like a mirage. It's real as far as an appearance goes. It's real as far as sensations go. It's real as far as energetics go. But it has no inherent reality. There is no self you can find. There is no now you can find. There's only everything that's happening. And even that is hard to talk about because is it really happening or is it just what is? Is there any happening going on? That gets too much, but it's all true. I hate to say it. Hi, Mike Zenker. Identity, is it subjective or is there a healthier way to understand your quote identity? That's a great question. So that's what we're really pointing at here. Identity, as we humans understand it or experience it, let's put it that way. Identity is an arising series of thoughts and beliefs that feel like a me. So think about it this way. I hate to say think about it because it involves thought, but there's really not another way to talk about this. Who you think you are right now? Let's say Mike Zenker is a healthcare professional with a history and a spouse and kids. Let's just speculate, all right? Okay, your parents, your kids, your spouse, your friends, your career, your history, all of that identity builds into your identity. Guess where it's found? In one single thought, now, all of it. Where else is it? Can you find it? Can you find a past? Can you find, even in this moment, can you find the Mike that is those things that isn't one single thought? And by one single thought, I mean one just vibration of memory, one vibration of belief, one vibration of story that is shows up now as a single thought, maybe in rapid sequence, but it's one thought at a time. That's you as you know yourself. It's that vibration in consciousness. And guess what? Everything you think you know about the world and history and the Big Bang and, you know, the Spanish conquistadors and whatever comes to your mind, that is a single vibration in thought now. It has no reality beyond that, beyond a consensus with other apparent beings that are single vibrations in your thought right now, if they're not right in front of you, that tell you again and again, this happened, this happened, this happened. Okay, now and now and now and now. What is school but a consensus reality conditioning machine that keeps telling you, yes, it's this, it's this, it's this, it's this. And then so when you think, when it arises in your experience, who am I? Immediately that thought vibration comes up. I'm Zubin. It's a total illusory fabrication of the mind. Everything you think you know and you are, your identity in that way, is a fabrication of mind. It's a story. And in a sense, it never happened because your story is not what the experience was at that time. It's an echo, a distortion, because that's the nature of consciousness. It's very distorting. It's like a house of mirrors. So all that is real in the truest sense, like your real identity, what is that? So what are you then? Can I tell you that? You have to look, stripping away all the veils, all the story, all the thought structures, all the belief, even the energetic sensations that you are here and that is out there. All of that has to be seen through. It's like the sword of wisdom that cuts through that delusion. So when that is actually cleared, and you can't do this, by the way, you don't tell delusion to go away. You don't cut through this. It's like, it's very hard to talk about, but just that willingness to see truth, the way delusion shows up starts to show itself. And when there's an orientation to look, okay, so if all my identity is a thought, is that really true or is he telling me a story? Let me look in my experience. Can I find identity? Can I find the one they call me an experience in a form that isn't a thought, isn't a sensation, isn't something ephemeral that goes and comes? Because if it goes and comes, how can it be you? Do you remember going and coming along throughout your life in terms of existence? Even in sleep, there's a sense of, yeah, I slept well. Like there's a sense of continuity, right? Or there's a sense of constant being, beingness. Look there. Where is this beingness? What is that? So then you're looking at identity at a level that's truly fundamental. And it just goes deeper and deeper and deeper, and it gets more and more paradoxical. Now, what's beautiful is that your superficial levels of identity that are mind created, I am this person who has this history, that doesn't go away. It arises like every thought vibration. It just doesn't have to be taken seriously. It can be taken sincerely. You can say, yeah, well, I'm going to be a sincerely good dad and I'm going to be good to people. Even though it's a story, it's like, what else is there to do? And there's an arising knowing that it can't be other than it is. So a kind of natural equanimity and natural love and acceptance arises. And that's all of that is a story that I'm telling you until you realize it in your now. And that's the only fundamental cure for burnout, is recognizing that every moment is a new big bang. Every moment is a new universe. There is no continuity outside of thought. So how can you have a bad day? It's just the day. It's just this. And guess what? The body, mind, this appearance, conditioned in thought, will do its thing regardless. Regardless, it's going to do its thing. It's going to show up for work. It's going to go through the motions of taking care of people because it knows how to do that. It's been conditioned. You can trust that that's going to happen. You don't just become a blob. But there's a kind of peace, equanimity, presence, and love that shows up. And those are all words. They don't really, they're just pointing in the direction of what this is. It's indescribable because it's you. It's the true you. It's the truest identity, and it's not an identity. It is what is. It is what has always been you. That sense of beingness that has never not been here for you. You remember, if you remember your earliest childhood memory, what was experiencing that memory? This same isness, beingness, nowness, eternity. Nothing experiencing this. But it is. It just is. It's so impossible to talk about that I really hesitate. And I honestly don't know I'm not sure I can tell you why I turned the camera on, set up the lights, put my microphone here, do all the clicking that I have to do to get Facebook to do its thing, and stand here talking about this. I have no idea why I do this. If you ask me, is it for money? I would say, well, no, because I don't even put ads on it now. And or maybe you'll get more supporters. Yeah, maybe that's nice. And they're very awesome. But I don't do it for that. Okay, so do you do it to help people? No. I don't know how this is helping people. In fact, I'm not sure I would wish this path on somebody who's not ready for it, because you have to abandon everything, including hope that your life gets better. Because even that is a clinging, even that is a story. And until that goes, you can't see reality clearly. You really can't. So why do I do this? Like, why do I try to talk about that which is not speakable, but that all of us know what this is? You do. Even if you think you don't, you actually know. You know what this is, because it's right in front of your face. It's all of our experience right now. This. Why do I do it? I have no clue. This body, mind, Zubin just seems to like to do it. And what comes out of my mouth, I have no idea. I have no idea what I'm saying. Like, I don't think about it. I don't plan it. I can't. I don't even know how would I even do that? Seems crazy. Try that for a day. That's a beautiful exercise. Try going through your day with zero forethought. Like, imagine that you don't need thought to get through your day. How would that be? Just spontaneous action and spontaneous words and spontaneous doing. How would that feel? Really pay attention. See what that's like. Hey, sorry to interrupt this episode. It's Dr. Z. Just a quick pitch here. If you can just leave a review and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform, it helps us a lot. I also want to hear what you think about this episode when you're done listening. hello@zdogmd.com. It's the best way for me to hear your voice because the emails come right to me. And we don't have a comment section on most podcast platforms. Maybe Spotify has one, but nobody else does. So it really gets your voice involved on episodes, especially that don't have a video. And the third thing is, if you want to be a part of this community and support the show, join our supporter tribe, zdogmd.com/supporters. You can join on YouTube, Locals, Facebook, Instagram. You get live videos with me where we're talking about these things in depth, uncensored, and your comments are fully incorporated as in real time. And then we do these Zoom meetings where it's really like a beautiful community where we share our experiences on the awakening journeyless journey. How are we going to transform ourselves so we can transform healthcare and education and government? Because those systems are epiphenomena of us. Until we wake up, those systems will stay asleep. They're just an expression of our own delusion. So being a part of that, it supports this message so others can hear it. And it also allows for our own collective growth. So we need each other in that way. It's really, really, really tightly interwoven and interdependent. That's it. Back to your regularly scheduled show. Portia says, can we get another person? This number of 66 people is distracting. Oh, it's up to 86 now. That's good. 666. I've had that number show up sometimes. June thought this show was supporters only. Yeah, usually I do these things supporters only because my supporters understand they're here for this, you know, to fix healthcare and to talk about this. That's really it. But when you do it to the public, you get comments like this, Sarah, you're a fraud. You supported the poison jab. And then some angry emojis. And someone's already laughed at that comment. So actually, let's look at Sarah for a second. Let's have a look here. So whoever Sarah Haberlin is as a story, that identity is built around partially at this moment, because it's only built now. Identity only happens now. It's built around this belief structure that somehow these vaccines are bad. And anyone who said, oh, you know, actually they're good for preventing severe disease and should be used in people at high risk, which is what I said, is bad. And there's a sense of internal tension and suffering when a person like that is seen, and you just have to go on a public forum with your real name and say something like you just said. That's how strong identity is. Like, it'll override, and this is why identity generates suffering. Because if that belief structure wasn't, like, because I'll tell you this, there is no true belief, period. There is not, outside of thought. In the relative world of thought, yeah, some things are more true than others, but there is no such thing as a true thought or true belief. They're all reflections. All that's true is this, now, this, what's happening, this appearance, this radiance, this energy. That's all that is. That's all that is. That's all that ever was. So Sarah saying you're a fraud, you supported the poison jab with a bunch of exclamation points and an emoji and all of that is a beautiful illustration of like how we can easily blindly go through life with these fixed beliefs that generate suffering for ourselves. Because I don't care. Like, to me, it's funny because it's another example of like how humans are, as if I needed more. Because I just have to look at myself to see delusion. Like, you don't think that I spent most of my life staking beliefs, defending them vigorously. Like, let's say a pro-vaccine belief. Let's say earlier, prior to COVID, I was so rabidly pro-vaccine as to ridicule anyone who would not, you know, get their kids vaccinated, which it's a very validating position when you work in healthcare and other people in your tribe will stand up and say, yeah, screw these people. So the ego gets validation. The identity is the one who crusades for science. The consensus reality of other physicians and nurses and people who are like-minded supporting that and reifying it, making it something real and solid is instant. That's how human delusion is. So that's that. So then the anti-vax delusion is the same thing. It's another extreme position. You're just taking, you're staking it out, and you're saying everyone who doesn't believe this is a fraud, a liar, is out for money, trying to kill babies, whatever it is. And honestly, it's all delusion. So what's true? Nothing. None of that. None of it. What's true for you? Whatever you want, honestly. Now, that doesn't mean that there aren't beliefs in the relative world that generate more suffering than others. For example, I am right and you are wrong generates suffering. Whereas a belief that I must question all my beliefs always probably generates less suffering for you and others. Hold everything lightly in the dream, which this is. So Sarah is a gift today. Let's see. Janice says, genius, we only live in the now. You are only who you think you are now. Wow, what a change from a doctor to a guru. Why do you do this? Too much time on your hands. How does this have anything to do with the fixing healthcare? You've taken yourself way too seriously. Life is what you live in the moment. So you basically just said it. Life is what you live in the moment. Isn't that what I just said? That I'm taking too seriously? What if you don't believe that? What if you believe life is in the future or life is your identity in the past? What if you believe you are here to fix healthcare? And then you're struggling constantly to fix healthcare and nothing gets fixed, like, I don't know, a lot of the last 10 years. And you realize, wait a minute, all of this healthcare thing is a story created by humans. What if the humans change? What if the humans wake up? What if the humans shift their identity? What would healthcare look like then? Because otherwise, there's no hope. It's going to be the same thing. It can't not be. There is nothing other than you, period. And that's not a narcissistic statement. That's a statement of fact. You create this entire world. Everything you see is in your head, all of it, literally in your head, in your brain. It's this. So how is there a healthcare system that's apart from you, that you rage against? You're raging against yourself. Fix yourself. Now, that's not to shame you and say you're broken. It's to say, if you think outside is broken, turn attention inward and see where that sense of brokenness is. Is that a kind of anger? Is it a shame? What is it? And once that's actually allowed to be felt purely, see what happens. See what happens to systems. Entertain the possibility. Hi, Nina. That's my daughter's name. John says, I remember your COVIDian dichotomy. Yeah, that was fun in COVID. COVID was a gateway drug for awakening for a lot of people because you could start to see people behaving like total jack clowns. And it's not them. They're not to blame because they don't have, really, it is the human delusion of mind identification that makes us think we're an identity. Instead of holding identity lightly like a coat, like a garment you wear when you go out. Like, okay, when I go to the grocery store, I'm the dad getting groceries identity. When I go home and teach my kids something, I'm the dad helping his kids identity. When I'm with my wife alone and we're watching TV, I'm the spouse watching Netflix with spouse identity. And all of those are held super lightly. It's all fluid. It's all now. It's all now. And I understand why people leave comments like, why aren't you talking about healthcare? You've gone into guru land. Like, are you Deepak Chopra? Like, what's going on? I totally get it. It's frustration, it's anger, and they're projecting it onto me. That's just, it's how it is. I do it. I've done it much of my life, projecting onto others my own frustration, my own anger, my own despair, my own inadequacy or sense of inadequacy. So what happens when you dive into all those? You just go, oh, I'm angry. Okay, what is that? Where is that in the body? What is that anger without a story? How does it show up? It's a fun thing to try. It's not fun, actually. It's the hardest thing you'll do because you have to feel things that you've been avoiding for your whole life. It's hard. It's not just hard. That's a euphemism. But really, in a sense, who is it hard for? That's a question worth asking. This sense of separate self can't tolerate that, but this can. This can tolerate anything. Every configuration of reality is not just tolerated, it is perfect because it's what's happening. Nina says, I love your insight. I learned a lot from you during COVID in the last 4 years. Yeah, COVID was again, and I learned a lot. Like I learned how to hold my positions so lightly and see this alt-middle approach where everything's a little true but partial and it's all kind of a story. So let's try to find a story that's the least harmful for the most people, but recognize that not everyone will agree. So you can have your story. It's okay. Just let's try to be nice to each other. Let's realize when we're being played by social media algorithms that are there to prey on our sense of identity, of our in-group, out-group, tribal loyalty, all these things. It's all human delusion. So don't fall for it. That was the lesson of COVID. Whatever you think about COVID, wherever you stand in the spectrum, it doesn't matter. Diana in Lisbon says, so if you have a sense of aversion towards someone, look inside. Yeah, because how, so Diana, here's a question. Let's say you don't like somebody, let's go even further and go, you really don't like them. You hate them. Somebody at work, somebody who's wronged you in the past. Okay. You can't know who they are. You can't know them at all. You can't know their experience, not even the slightest. Everything that you know about them is a story that you tell. And yeah, they do things. There's apparent behaviors. These things happen. That's all true. But we create our own suffering. We create the anger and the hatred. It arises in us. Otherwise, like, who cares? Who cares? I mean, someone murders you? Well, you got murdered. You're going to do what you can to defend yourself. But does it generate anything but suffering to sit there? I mean, murder is a kind of a silly thing. Let's say you get robbed. Does it make any sense to sit and feel actively stew on feelings of hatred and anger and aversion when those arise? That's all innocent. That's natural. That's part of the body-mind's conditioning. Things that aren't good for reproduction, for evolution, they arise as like, okay, avoid that. It's an energetic feeling and it's fine. It's just why should we wallow in the story about it? Like those are natural impulses. Look how a cat moves. It's not going to eat something that's going to kill it, typically. It's going to go after things it wants. It's going to go after affection that it thinks it wants. It's going to go after food. It's going to sleep when it wants. When it's time to die, it curls up and it dies. There's not aversion in the sense that it's sitting in thought space going, God, I hate this way this guy's brushing me. It's just like something happens. The brushing doesn't feel right. Cat moves, goes away, hisses, scratches, whatever it does. It's all very spontaneous. Humans are the same. We just add reflective thought that generates a fantasy world of mind identification where we live in this fantasy world. And that's where beliefs become reality. And that's what I'm asking us to, really asking myself, because you guys don't even exist. For me, it's just me. For me, in my experience, there's no you. So I'm talking to myself when I do these things, which may explain why I do it. I like to talk to myself. Evan Fox, I want a t-shirt that says who cares or oh well or so what or says who. Put them all on one t-shirt. All four of those. I'll sell it. Hi, Jennifer. I've been looking inside all week. I've noticed more aggravation than ever. Yeah, isn't it something? Aggravation's amazing when you really feel into that reactivity and that aggravation. I had that earlier in the week. It's such a powerful sensation energetically because you feel it in the body, but we often don't notice it. We're often up in our heads. The head thoughts about those kind of frustrations and aggravations, they attract so much attention because typical human operating system is to identify with thought, to think that's what I am. I'm there in this head. That's where I'm looking from. That's what it feels like, right? So we identify with all these thoughts about that, but we don't really allow ourselves to go, wait, what's in the body right now that these thoughts are pointing at? Because there's something in the body, I feel it. Grossly, I feel it. Okay, well, let me dive into that. Close eyes, feel into where is it in the body? Okay, it's here. And then the thoughts come, oh God, I really fucking hate this guy. Okay, stop. Where's that in the body? Forget about the story. Let it go. It's fine. It can arise. Feel into the body. Where am I feeling this? And just sit with that. Sit with what you're calling frustration fully. Let it just overtake you. Let it be everything and see what it's made of. Is it really what you thought? Is it really what the stories were? Or is it what it is? I can't tell you what it is. You have to look in your experience, in your own body sense. What is that? That's a hugely powerful practice. It'll really cut through a lot of delusion if you do it sincerely, earnestly. Kathy says, it's like a constant buzzing energy in the body that you want so much to lash out, react. Oh, you said it so beautifully. When we feel reactive, like when something triggers us, let's just imagine a trigger, like I like to use road rage. So someone cuts me off and flips me the bird. That's my trigger. When they cut me off and then somehow blame me, that's my personal trigger. So, or my strong, one of my strong triggers. We all have multiple triggers. Like what happens instantly is a flash in the body. If you're paying attention, you can overlook this if you're not paying attention. So there's a flash in the body. And then instantly there's this almost unconscious sense of, I don't like this. It's an energetic pulling back that's conditioned. It's like Pavlovian. It's happened since we were young. I don't like this. I'm going to make distance from it. And the way we make distance is thoughts start to arise. So we can jump away from the sensation in the body, which we've been conditioned to feel is not okay, into thought, fuck that guy for cutting me off. And then action. You flip the bird, you hit the horn, you roll down your window and shout, all the things that we do. And it all happens like that, because it's conditioning. It's a rapid sequence of algorithm. Okay, so what happens if you practice this and you invoke the trigger in your mind such that you feel it in the body? Like, oh, there it is. And you just want to lash out. It's everything you said, Cashley. Kathy, it's just like, I have to do something about this. Now, that belief, that energetic feeling that you have to do something to make this sensation, I have to do something. Is that really true? What happens if you sit in the most uncomfortable sensation that you can imagine like that, where it's just like, you have to do something, but you don't. You don't do anything. You just sit with it. Oh, what happens? That's the practice. Start with that. I've talked more about this before, but I just start with that and notice what happens when you don't do anything. It becomes excruciating, but what happens ultimately? And there's an energetic rewiring of understanding that can happen. I don't need to react. I never needed to react. Nothing I do changes anything. And this is just an innocent sensation in the body. I can respond. Like if somebody cuts me off and they're creating a danger, I will respond naturally by action. But I don't have to think about it. I don't have to react internally in any way. Just like a cat doesn't think about hissing at you when you're brushing it wrong or whatever it is. Power of the pause, Margie. There you go. Ashley says, I'm definitely more reactive, but I'm also a lot more open to sharing how I feel too. I'm not always just jumping to reaction. It's hard to explain. No, you just explained it. You're just open now to feeling everything, including reactivity. So reactivity can increase. For me, on this whole journey, reactivity got so bad that it was just like, people would say, I thought you meditated. You are such a raging asshole. This is family that's saying this. And it's true, because the more we dive deep into these root energies, the more they show up and try to show you what they are. They've been trying to show you. And then we lose ourselves in reactivity and mind identification. And then by grace, we catch ourselves. And then we start looking. And then it starts to dissolve. And then the next thing arises. The next thing that's trying to be shown, trying to be felt, that we've been avoiding all our lives. These feelings, these innocent sensations that have been saying, hey, I'm part of the human experience, but you've been avoiding me by jumping into thought. Like, and again, I hate to personify these things like they're an entity. They're just an energy, like all of it, all of this is just playing out energetically. There's nobody doing it and there's no you in charge of it. Once we really know that, life becomes a flow state. very empty of inherent reality, but still a beautiful mirage and a beautiful, full, alive radiance. I don't know how else to say that. Everything, yeah, I don't know. And tomorrow I could go through a period where, and I've heard this is not uncommon, where people do get a kind of, they go through a nihilistic period where it all feels very hollow. That can happen, but keep going, because the realization is, oh, this is still the perfection. Yeah. Life takes care of life, Evan. That's right. Ashley, I really like that I know almost instantly when something doesn't feel right anymore. Isn't that interesting? So when you really do start to open in that way, things just, you just know. You just know what's right. It's funny. So I was talking to my friend Ishwar about this today. He was on the show. We were just catching up. And we were both talking about, like, in our jobs prior to all this, there is a component of, like, fake it till you make it sort of thing, like where you're really pitching something, like, you know, you think you can do this thing for someone, and but you got to pitch them on it. You got to kind of sell them on it because that's important to the identity as the one who's competent. So you pitch it and you sell it. And so whether that's, like, you know, electrical contractor work, or whether it's making a big sponsored music parody rap video, or speaking at a big conference and they're asking, reaching out to inquire, and you're like, oh yeah, I'm the guy for that, this, that. So you're doing that pitch and you're hoping you don't screw it up. You're hoping you can, there's an inadequacy and a shame and all that underlying it that you hide by, you know, pitching it. And it's just, you think that's how business has to be done. You think that if you don't do that, you're never going to amount to anything, or no, people aren't going to take you seriously, or you're not going to make money, you're not going to support your family, whatever it is. And so we were talking about, like, well, so how is it now for you and me? And we're like, yeah, most of the time when someone reaches out to do something, I'll get on a call with them now, which I didn't used to do. And I'll say, you know what? I know what you want. I don't know that I can give you that. Like, I don't think I can do a talk about fixing healthcare. I can do a talk about fixing us and through a healthcare lens, but it may not be what you want. It may be a little heavy. And honestly, I don't know that I want to do a bunch of songs and stuff. And I charge a lot of money because I don't like to travel. I like to be with my family. So just putting that out there, I just don't know. And it's really crazy that some of the times it's like, oh, thanks for being honest. And yeah, that probably isn't a fit for us. We really kind of want this. And it's like, perfect. That wasn't a fit. No problem about not making that money. It's okay. Because the next call is like, okay, you know, maybe that's what we need, actually. We're kind of looking for something like that, and it's okay. Oh, okay, so I can be me in the thing? Yeah, all right, let's do it. It's like that. It kind of shows up like that. Now, again, when you're early on and you're hustling in life, it feels like you have to do those things, and that's all fine. It's all part of the journey. But at some point, there's a relaxation into the flow of what is. As Ashley's saying, you just know what's right and what's not, and you feel it. It's a deep intuition, and you know when it's not right. You do. It's not a question anymore. It's just like, And it gets to the point where, like, you have trouble hurting things. You really do. You may not be a vegan or vegetarian or doing any of that, but you're just like, oh, there's a bug in the house. Okay, normally I would have just squashed that. I don't know what it is. I don't have any thought about it. I don't think about whether it's a sentient life form or it can suffer. None of that arises. It's just like, let me just catch it in this glass and put it outside. It's spontaneous. I can't explain it. It's just what seems to happen. And it's not just me. It's people who go through this seem to say this. Kim, this is a good one. All I can say is I'm stuck. That is a beautiful jumping off point for everything. When we feel like we're stuck, that is life showing us something very important, which is, I feel like I'm stuck. when you investigate what that is it a sensation? Probably not. It's a belief. It's a thought structure. I'm stuck, which in that one belief is embedded dozens of other beliefs in that belief. So I feel like I'm stuck. What is necessary for that belief to be true? What other beliefs have to be true? That there's time, because being stuck means you're not moving through time in the way you want. So I'm stuck. I'm stuck means there's a me that is stuck, which implies a belief that there's a me that could have chosen otherwise or can choose otherwise to get unstuck. Then there's a belief of stuck. So somehow this isn't right. What's happening isn't right. It's not okay. And I want it to be otherwise, because I'm stuck is like saying, I don't like this and I want out. So now your mind is telling you, it's like, here's a belief. I feel like I'm stuck. And I do. I feel like I'm stuck. Nothing's happening. Da, da, da. Okay. Now's your chance. Stop everything right here, right now. Who is it that's stuck? What is stuck? Can you find time that's stuck can unstuck itself? What are you looking for? Who's looking? Like a million questions. Just dive into that. Just dive into that now. And every single one of us feels like we're stuck at some point in this, and in multiple points. Just the other day, I was like, man, I feel like I'm stuck. Same thing. And it was a gate. It was like, that feels like suffering. Ooh, anytime something feels like suffering, that's grace, because it means suffering is like a car alarm that points you back to a robbery in progress. Your attention is being stolen by thought, by mind identification. Let me say that again, because it's never quite come out like that. I don't know where these words come from. Suffering is like a car alarm that alerts you to a robbery in progress, that your attention, your being, your life energy is being stolen, carjacked by thought, by belief, by story, by a dream. So when you feel suffering, like I'm stuck, I feel like I'm stuck. Ooh, the car alarm's going off and the robbery's in progress. Are you going to catch the robber? Are you going to look for the thoughts and the beliefs that are causing you torment because you believe them? You believe them to have inherent existence when they're just thoughts. They're just birds tweeting. So what's actually here now that's real? What is here now in your experience that's still beyond still, awake beyond our conception of awake, that's always and already aware of everything and is everything? Look there. See if you find suffering. See if the car alarm goes off when you sell the car and it's gone. Steve, what big muscles? Are you kidding me? Come on. I did go exercise with my buddy, Dr. Harry today. We work out in his gym, but we only do it once a week. I used to exercise so much. That's another thing that's fallen away. It's like, I realize why? Why am I doing this? For some body image thing that I have, or some image of like longevity or health. And it's like, what happens if I don't? And this is what I found. Weight didn't change. Yeah, I got a little less strong. I got a lot more time in the day. I find that my energy is now available to do things like walking and sitting and feeling the energetics of the body. And nothing has changed. Like a life of like chasing after this six pack, this image. Yeah. Of aerobic and anaerobic health. Just poof. Turns out I didn't need it. Or it was perfect at the time and now it's not. Don't need it. But I like to socialize with my buddy. I do like to do some, I feel like the muscles want to do something sometimes. So I'll go and we do bench press and curls and that's it. He does a bunch of other stuff, but I'm just not into it. And, you know, I don't know. Everything starts to feel just like if it isn't natural, don't do it. Yeah. Now you have to be in a position to try to be able to accommodate that in your life, but your life will start to start to show up in that way, actually. Kim says, thank you for the direction. A ton to unpack with that mental, emotional, physical, stuck on all points. So this is a very good thing you just brought up. That feeling of stuckness sometimes can arise in response to an energetic sensation in the body that is associated with something like trauma that's pretty heavy. And it hasn't been felt because there may not be the resources to feel it yet internally. And I've talked with Simon Brown about this on a podcast. It's a very good podcast about processing trauma. Like, you can't just tell people to feel it. Like, a lot of times that will re-trigger. So you have to go through, there's a whole thing that you start to resource yourself to be able to handle feeling more and more and getting into the body, feeling more embodied. And it's very difficult, but it is beautiful work. And that's what opens these things up. So sometimes the feeling of stuckness, for me, like when I'm at a meditation retreat, often a feeling of stuckness arises, and it has to do, when I feel in the body, it's an emotion that hasn't been felt. And then something may happen where I just like collapse on the ground and feel the emotion fully. And it's just so powerful, the emotion, that you could see why the mind would recoil from it, but it's just an innocent emotion. And when it's done being felt, it's like the feeling of stuckness just dissolves. So it's really interesting. It's very multidimensional. It's kind of a whole talk in itself. This body of mine likes being with people, but the world tells me I should have a huge to-do list. I'm learning to listen to what my story is. There you go. Because the world, yeah, and Aaron says they're called stuck points in trauma work, doing that now. Beautiful, Aaron. Consensus reality is a real bitch. It causes so much suffering. That's why silent retreat is so powerful, because you step away from complicity with other humans and generating a fake world. This is all like everything you think is the real world of like to-do lists and shopping and all this. That's all a story that is made real by other apparent beings, like in complicity. Talking to another human on a superficial level like that generates the dream world to a large degree. In fact, you could argue if humans were truly solitary, never saw another human, there would not be a sense of self apart. There's some theories around that, actually. It's socially constructed. And in reality, there aren't other beings. It's all kind of a one unity happening. Even that's saying a lot. It's wonky to talk about it this way. But it shows up as this thing, and it generates this consensus dream state. So yeah, it is really frustrating, and it causes a lot of suffering. I'm just going to try to fix my thing here. Hold on. There we go. It causes a lot of suffering. And so sometimes just stepping out of that or recognizing it, okay, yeah, of course, my parents think this, or my, you know, or society thinks that, or my friends think this, my coworkers think that, and that somehow affects me. It is you. It's a manifestation of your own delusion showing up and reflecting on you. When you see it that way, even if it's physically, like we don't think it's physically, that's the case. If you see it that way, boy, things can really shift pretty quickly. Diana says, that's why it's nice hanging out with this family. Yeah, that's why it's important, I think, not to try to do this alone, because if you're going to eliminate consensus reality or see through its delusion, have some other people who are doing the same thing so that you can at least, now be careful, because spiritual circles are the worst. They generate all kinds of ideas and beliefs that are, again, there's no idea or belief that's true. So if you're starting to talk about, you know, even something spiritual like Kundalini energy, it's like, what is that? That's a story. It's just sensation. It's not doing anything. It's just what's here. It's what's here now. But then you could be in a spiritual circle that like tries to invoke Kundalini and makes it a big thing and a story. And then you're not good enough. Then the other guy that's getting all the Kundalini, and it's like, oh, come on. Now we're just keeping ourselves asleep with a new consensus reality that is a little more enjoyable for the ego, the spiritual ego. All of it has to die. Spirituality has to die. All of it has to go. If you want realization in the deepest sense. Maybe you don't want that. That's fine. So what? You don't need it. Nobody needs anything. But for those who do want it, well, that's what we're talking about. That's what we're here seeking by trying not to seek. It's very paradoxical. Feel it, heal it, Margie Lincoln. That's right. To a degree, and when it's severe trauma, then you really do have to, you know, do some of that work. Am I in focus, you guys? It's hard to see. Yeah, I guess I'm in focus. Because, you know, camera out here is weird and I have a tiny little monitor and the autofocus is janky. Let's see. Hey, Dennis, how are you doing? In my practice, I work with stuck identity states, which are a result of our response to trauma. These identities contain all the emotion and physical sensations of our past experiences, and we feel it and identify with it all in the present. Beautifully put. So that's exactly, and I should have actually gone into this when we first started talking about that sense of being stuck, because it often is that. It's an energetic thing. It's not just thought, but remember, energy and thought, they kind of cohabitate, because thought is like a stepping back from uncomfortable energies in a way. And thought's just energy in itself too. So that's beautiful work. And when you can find like a therapist or someone to work with, like a dentist, you're ahead of the game. Okay, cool. Thanks for the input on the focus. Guys, Lynn says, I came late, so what are we talking about? Nothing. This is a whole lot of words about something that can't be spoken about, which is just reality as it is this now. Yeah. Oh, wow. It's getting late. Okay. All right. So let's point a little bit to our direct experience. What do I mean when I say direct experience? I'm going to get a little closer here. What do I mean when I say direct experience? Isn't all experience direct experience? No one else is experiencing it. It's you. Okay. Direct experience, when I talk about it this way, means seeing, hearing, feeling, tasting, smelling, the senses, thinking, experienced exactly as it is, without the overlay of thought, without the overlay of subject and object, of me and that, without the overlay of name, flower. A direct experience of flower is that. It is what that is, purely the colors, the shapes, the textures, the smell. That's what that is. We call it flower, and the mind throws edges and boundaries and structure onto it. That is not in the immediate experience, not in the direct experience. What's in the direct experience is that, not describable. You can do this with any of your senses. Look at something, relax your focus, allow the mind to relax, and just see what's there when there's no story, when there's no labeling. And then labeling arises, and you see the labeling as labeling, and you let that go, and you're back. And that is eternally now. It is eternally what is happening. We just don't seem to know it, because we are also seeing something else that is happening, which is the overlay of thought, structure, distance, self-other. All these things are energetic thought structures in consciousness. So direct experience is now. It is not describable by any words. It's luminous, self-knowing. There isn't someone or something that knows it. It is just it. And when the mind relaxes, and there's only seeing, and there's only sensations in the body, there isn't body. There's just that. And the visual field. And that sound. And it's gone. And the next thing in the visual field, sensation, sound, cycling through the senses, attention going, not finding anything to land on. No story, no form, just what it is, free. That's it. All right, gang. Thank you for taking this time. This is a big deal that you take the time to listen to this. It really is. It is a crazy undertaking to question every single thing and to just look at what is. It's beautiful that you're here. It's like it says everything about your willingness to wake up, whatever that means for you. All right, gang, I love you. Till next time. Hey, it's Dr. Z. Thanks for getting through the whole episode. That's a huge accomplishment. And so at this point, I just got to ask you for a few favors because it just helps us so much if you leave a review on your favorite podcast platform and subscribe. It just really helps the algorithms to get this message out to others. The second thing is email me, hello@zdogmd.com. I get all these emails personally. I can't respond to them all, but I need to hear your voice because especially on podcast, we don't have a comment section. And I want to hear how this episode affected you, what you'd like to hear in the future, what you think we got wrong, what we think we got right, anything, or just say hi. So that's really powerful. And the third thing is, financially, it helps us a lot to support the show in any way you can. And if you go to zdogmd.com/supporters, you can join our supporter tribe on your favorite platform, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, wherever. What that will get you on those platforms is live shows with me that are exclusive for supporters, and access to our Zoom meetings where we talk about awakening realization and we share with each other our own experience. It's a powerful group effect. It's a community, really. And we support and love each other and share, again, through our own experience, how we're waking up. So, and that ripples out into systems, into transforming healthcare and education and government. So it really starts with us. So join us there if you can. Again, zdogmd.com/supporters. And I'm so grateful to have you with us.